Amen. Getting ready to leave air-conditioned buildings, smooth roads, air that you can't see. Because where I live is where you can see the air. And if you can see the air, it's not good. But that's home. And, you know, I could go down the list of all the things that I don't like about Kenya. And I didn't go there because of anything that was attractive in the natural. I can remember in the earlier years when we were down in Richmond and different times that Ron and Tony would come back and, you know, they say, don't you want to come to Kenya? And I'd say what some of you tell me, I'll pray for you. Because I never had a desire. Never had a desire for really Africa, although I'd been in other parts of the world, but not Africa. And again, it just speaks to what happens when we surrender our will and do God's will. You know, just allowing Father to do His work in our lives and really believing that He does know what's best for us, even when we don't see the picture and don't understand things. And this year will be 15 years in Kenya. And, just an amazing thing of what the Lord's been able to do. And like I said, there's nothing in the natural that makes me, of all the places I've been in the world, Virginia's number one. I mean, I love Virginia and all those things that we take for granted here. Even just, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, just laws regarding title deeds and zoning and surveys. You know, whenever you guys buy a house, I bet you don't even think twice about your title deed. You just assume it's okay, there's no problem. In Kenya, you better check it forwards and backwards and every other way, because there's a good chance three other people have the same title deed that you have. And I'm serious, it's where things are. And so, but that's home for us. And as Pastor said, we're looking forward to being able to go back next week and be with our family and be with your family as well. And again, greetings from all of them to all of you. They're always wanting me to greet you and how thankful they are for your ministry. And those of you that'll be coming over again in just a couple of weeks, it's a very special time for our people. And we just continue to stir them about your faithfulness, because, you know, I was just thinking a moment ago in 15 years of being in Kenya, and I know Forbes can say the same and Ron can say the same when he was there and Tony as well. In all of these years, we never got a phone call that came from here that said, you know, we're very sorry that people's giving has been so down that we're not going to be able to send you anything this month. There's never been one time in all of these years that's ever happened. And so again, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness, man, your giving that enables us to travel, to be able to live in the country, to be able to host pastors' conferences and the young adult retreats and the youth retreats and all of those things. It all happens because of your generous giving. And month after month, you know, you open the envelope, you put the check in, or you put the cash in, or whatever it is, and whatever that little you may think it is doing much in Kenya. And so, you know, you may not think it's very much, but God has a way of just multiplying all of that. And He multiplies it into stronger pastors and stronger churches and godly marriages. And we can just continue to go down the list because you give, because you guys pray for us. I just give the Lord the glory. I think at this point, I've probably driven you know, probably a couple hundred thousand miles on Kenyan roads. And truly just give the Lord the glory, because we see carnage virtually every time we're making any type of missions across the country. And those of you who've been on missions trips, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we just thank God for His protection in every way. And your faithfulness in praying for us and interceding and helping us and coming over and being an example. To God be the glory for what He has done. Amen. The good things that He has done. And again, you know, the Lord orders our steps. And I think, of course, one of the greatest things that happened in my life in me surrendering to God's will to go to Kenya was, you know, giving me a beautiful wife in Mildred, and just a great gift that she's been over the years. And I've shared it at different times over the years that, you know, those early years were extremely painful. They were very hard being alone in Africa and you know, you're pastoring a church and all of those things that go with it. But in the time appointed, you know, the Lord brought her into my life and has been such a great gift. You know, she really captures me with her smile. She's not smiling. Oh, there she goes. But that smile just, you know, lights me up and just really, you know, just speaks towards the love of Jesus in her life. And again, as I've shared before, I just think she's a great representative of the Africa ministry, you know, and what God's been able to do there and what we're again looking to replicate there and what we see here. And I just want to be able to say, I see Jesus in your lives, man. When we come here, we feel very, very welcomed. I mean, it's just, you know, the love of God and the peace of God and the security and, you know, all of those things that other missionaries, they don't have those things, man. They, you know, and I know that's what Pastor looked at for so many years when he was in the assemblies. And you'd look at, you know, guys like that we had served or worked with for years, like, you know, Nick Pino and David Grant and David Harris and Willard Cantillon and men, they come off the field and I mean, they're just having to rip from one side of the country to the other, trying to raise support. And we get to come back and we get to chill. We get to hang out and get refreshed and strengthened and the vision renewed and being able to be with Pastor and the other men and things that are common because it's been here for so many years, but is exceptional in what we have. And that's always the danger when we have such a great treasure and after a while you just don't see it anymore. And you don't see it in your deacons, you know, you don't see it in your pastors, you don't see it in your spouse, the great treasure that's been given to you. All you see is clay feet. And we all got those. And the only thing that makes us different than the world is the presence of God. Amen. That's the only thing that separates us from them is His presence in our lives. So we just come over here to get a little bit more that we can get on this side. And so again, just very grateful to you, Pastor, and Greer, and all of the guys and all of your lives. And so, you know, it's hard to believe next week we'll be heading back and all of that chaos and the problems, and just continue to pray. The problems in Kenya are enormous. Economically, morally, politically, the dangers are just, you know, it's just the world. So it's just where the world is right now. And so just continue to pray for us and we'll continue to pray for you and we'll be ready when Jesus comes back. Amen. 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 Open your Bibles up to John chapter 12.
Rob,
yeah.
You might mention something about the drought.
Yeah, right now in Kenya, there's just, you know, in the Bible, you've heard of the former rains and the latter rains. Well, you know, in Africa and in the Middle East, that's a lot of what you have. They call it in Kenya anyway, the short rains, which is in normally October, November, and then the long rains, which will begin somewhere in the middle of March or even into April. And as of last week when I spoke with Pastor Ben, they've had very little rainfall. And the consequences now, and actually he was saying if things don't change, they won't have a planting season for the nation really until February of next year. And these are people that live hand to mouth, day to day. You know, you get out into the rural parts of Kenya, you know, there's no central water system or anything like that. And so, even now there's people in different parts of the nation that are dying because of drought conditions. And so, you know, we know a father who's able to move in those areas. And so, you know, just be praying. Let's just believe God. And of course, we're always looking for our pastors and how they're doing. And so, and we'll just keep you posted on how things are going. But certainly, and then, see, the consequence is when you throw drought, all right, now you don't have any crops. Now, economically, that begins to put pressure on the nation. Now no one has food. Now no one has work. And then people get angry. And then it goes into unrest and chaos and all of those other things. So, you know, it's not a safe place. And so that's the reason why we need to pray for the team when they come over and for Pastor when he comes and just continuing to do what you've been doing, man. Just lifting us before the throne of grace. Praise God. John chapter 12. John 12. Verse 21, then the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, those four words, say it with me, we would see Jesus. Amen. Let's say it again. We would see Jesus. One more time. We would see Jesus. Isn't that your desire? Seemed like even the songs we were singing tonight was just, you know, just that longing and that desire. We would see Jesus. That's what Christianity is, man. It's not keeping a bunch of rules. It's not trying to maintain a certain standard. It's seeing Jesus. Amen? Beholding Him, man, and just, you know, just that longing and that desire. And of course, 1 John talks about, you know, seeing Him. And when we see Him, you know, we'll be like Him. You know, that change is going to take place in all of our lives, you know, and mortality takes on immortality and the body of sin, you know, it's shaken off and, you know, no more battling the flesh, no more battling, you know, the thoughts in our heads and the anger and bitterness. All of that stuff is gone in a moment. We would see Jesus just to behold Him. And you can read through so many different passages and you hear the cry of God's people, that desire for God to know Him. And you know, sometimes we just got to remind ourselves, even in our quiet times, even when we come up here for prayer. I haven't come up here for an exercise. I'm not doing this out of a routine because this is what I do every day. I'm going to the throne of grace. I'm going to see the King and to behold Him and to encounter His presence and to be changed by Him. And any of us can fall into that thing where we just, and maybe even tonight. You know, you just showed up. You just kind of come in because, you know, it's Wednesday night and this is what we do. and didn't come with that heart of faith, that desire for the presence of God. See, that's what makes it what it is for us in Kenya, to be able to live there and to be content there. And I've had other Kenyans tell me, I would never live where you live. I would never live on that side of Nairobi. And yet, that's home for us. And it's only home because of His presence. We have beheld Him and we continue to behold Him. And He enables us then to be able to do what many can't do. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the grace of God that is working in our lives. We would behold, we would see Jesus. And I think there's another side of that that we could even apply for here and now. There's the one of wanting to see Jesus, but the other is to be able to see more of Jesus working in our lives. Amen? To see more of Jesus working in us. That we would be Christ-like. You know, just in our attitude and our actions and all of those areas, just to see more of God's presence working in our lives, that's really what our goal should be. Not keeping rules, not trying to keep up with everybody else spiritually, but the desire to see Jesus, because 2 Corinthians said, when we see Him, we are changed. Amen? As we behold Him, there's something about seeing Jesus Christ. And maybe we can't see Him physically right now, but we behold Him in His Word. We behold Him in His presence and by His Holy Spirit. That longing and desire just to be in the presence of God. Oh God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. Not a desire for religion, but just a desire for His presence. You know what Moses said, Lord, show me Your glory. I just want to know You more. That hunger and thirsting for God in a day where there's so many other things that you can fill up on, and just to be able to fill up on the presence and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll tell you what, look at Galatians chapter 4, first of all. Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You know, for us as pastors, it's more than just trying to get you to come to church on Sunday and tithe and, you know, keep the commandments and do all of the right thing. Our ultimate desire for you as pastors is to see you become more like Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Why is my deacon always after me? Why is Pastor John coming and talking to me? What? They're just on my case. No. There is a pursuit of God and a desire to see you conform to the image of Jesus Christ. See, that's what we're laboring for. It's not to keep a bunch of rules or, you know, just to make sure that you're toeing the line. It is to see you become more like the person of Jesus Christ in character and in power. Amen? As we've been hearing, and in power, but being able to imbibe Jesus, because we can't do anything like that. We can't forgive. We can't have peace in the midst of chaos and trials and tragedy, but Christ in us enables us to be able to do that. It enables us to be able to endure. It enables us, and I think of Pastor Lam, the pastor that I met in China all those years ago and spent 17 years in prison. And yet that prison became his sanctuary because the presence of God was in that cell. And he wasn't alone. God was there with him, and God by his grace enabled him and strengthened him. And I can still remember sitting with him and almost just feeling ashamed even to be sitting with this man, because I hadn't suffered like he had suffered. But I just remember asking him the question, if you had to do it again, would you do it over again, Pastor Lamb? Because not only that, when he got out of prison, he then learned that 2 years earlier his wife had died. And, you know, he's looking forward to seeing his wife. And I said, would you do it again? All those years in prison, you never saw your kids grow up. You didn't see your wife again. And he just got a smile on his face and he said, I would do it again. Because of Jesus. Not because of a religion, but because of his presence in his life. Look over at 2 Corinthians now, chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, as you really begin to study this out, you find out very clearly that the glory of God is not a it. It's not a thing. It's not a theological term. The glory of God is the person of Jesus Christ. You know, John 1 says that the Word became flesh and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the glory of God is not a thing. It is the person of Jesus. And here he talks about this same glory of God. And he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The glory of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're the earthen vessels. Amen? We're the earthen vessels. You know, I remember many years ago, I was working in Israel for about 6 weeks on an archaeological dig. And we were working at a place called Lachish. Now, be careful when you do that. But it was a place that at the top of the mound was the palace of Rehoboam, and down near the bottom was where Joshua, one of the cities that Joshua and the children of Israel had conquered. And I can remember when we began to dig up pottery, because pottery is nothing more than earthenware. And the first time I found some of this pottery, you know, from the time of Joshua, I was excited, man. I thought, wow, this is cool stuff. But after the 100th bucket, and then you had to take all of that back and wash every piece of it and scrub every piece of it, I wasn't so impressed with earthen vessels. You know, cause you got the contrast of a piece of pottery or earthen vessel, and then you have a vase or a vase. I don't know. Is there a difference between a vase and a vase? I don't know. A vase, yeah, it sounds like it does anyway. But you know, you look at something like that and it's very ornate and beautiful and all of those things. And that's not who we are. You know, we're just a clay pot. And that's what he says here. He says, we have this treasure, the glory of God, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And I'll just add, because of the glory of God. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that His life might be manifested in our bodies. There's always a paradox, isn't there? of living and dying. There always just seems to be that mix in our Christian lives of, you know, what the Lord wants to work in us. And when you die, that's when you live. If you try to live, well, that's where you die. And he says that as we bear about in the dying of the Lord Jesus, his life, the life of God, is being manifested in us, beloved. And I think this is something that I always have to deal with. And I think it's where a lot of Christians are. We look at what God is calling us to do. Forgiving our brother, submitting to our husbands, you know, preaching the gospel, resisting sin. We look at all of these spiritual commands and we try to do it in our own strength. And the only way that we're going to be able to do His will and to be able to love our enemies and pray for those that are persecuting us and a willingness to endure persecution and go the extra mile and lay our lives down for our brothers, that's not natural. See, that's what happens to too many of us. We try to do spiritual things by natural strength. You can't do that. And God knows that. That's the reason why He gave us Jesus to be able to do this. That we have this treasure in earthen vessels that as we die to self, self-will, His life is manifested through us, that we can do things we thought we could never do in the natural. How many times have we all said, I just can't do that. Man, I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. I wasn't raised that way. That's not how I am. That's all irrelevant. That has nothing to do with our lives as Christians. Because God knows very well what we're all capable of doing. And He was not expecting you to draw upon your resources that are limited. He's looking for you and I to draw upon His resources that are infinite. His strength is infinite. His wisdom is infinite. Our strength runs out. Our wisdom is very limited. I just don't know what I'm going to do. God does. I just don't have enough strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're always going to be a weak people. And that's what He says here. He's looking for weak people that He can show Himself strong on their behalf. If we will die to ourselves and we will trust in Him. Look over at John chapter 12. We were just there, but John 12 again. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If we will just die to self-will, if we will just die to what we want in life, our ambitions, our goals, how you see things. If we will die to all of those things, and again, just, this is the reason why Paul said, I die, what? Daily. Because it's not enough you died yesterday. Not enough yesterday. You put it all on, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. That was yesterday. What about today? And every day we have to die to self. And every day we have to die to our will and what comes natural to us. You know, whether it be in a husband-wife relationship where it's very easy to vent and rail and rebel and all of these things that come natural, to subdue all of that and die to self, that Christ might live in and through us. I think there's no greater testimony than to be able to hear somebody say, I see Jesus in you. Isn't that what we're after? Oh, you're such a spiritual person. Oh, I'm so impressed with you. How about just to hear, I see Jesus in your life, man. Your faithfulness, your love, your care. You know, just the love of God. It was just a reminder to me of first love. You know, just something about first love. And I remember when I was at Christ for the Nations, and we had the president of the Four Square denomination that came to Christ for the Nations. His name was Dr. Howard Courtney. And he was, I'd say mid-70s, something like that. You know, I have to be careful what I say about anybody who's in their 70s these days. You see, because someone's watching. And someone has good hearing. And Dr. Howard Courtney had come there to Christ for the Nations for a week with his wife, and just beautiful people, man. I mean, just heart for God, you know, and love for the Lord, and a love for one another. I mean, it just blew us away to look at these two people, both in their mid-70s, could even been 80, but I mean, serving in ministry for a lot of years, and they look like newlyweds. I mean, in the way that, you know, they're always leaning on each other and touching one another, holding each other's hand, and you know, just the way they looked at one another. And you would have thought, you know, because, you know, in life, everything gets old, right? Your cars get old, you know. Your homes get old. Your cell phones get old after one day. You know, everything wears out. You know, there's always, you know, go get something new. But their relationship looked very new, man. I mean, they just looked like newlyweds and very much in love with one another. And just, you know, was just meditating again just the other day on, you know, first love. And, you know, again, you relate to it in the natural, you know, the first time that you looked at your spouse, man, you just fell in love with them, man. I mean, just, you know, your heart's going pitter patter and, you know, and goosebumps and all of those different things. And that's what we want to have with Jesus. First love. It's fresh. It's alive. Exciting. Doesn't get old. You know, we may get old. You know, the Bible says the outward of man is perishing. The inward man getting new. Being renewed day by day. Just the life of Christ. And, you know, we want that in our marriages. And you know what? Man, you look at Pastor and Greer. Look at him right now. There she is, man. She's got her arm around him, leaning on him. I think they look like newlyweds, don't you? Amen. There's a freshness and a life in their marriage. And I think the two work hand in hand, don't they? When there's a freshness and a life in this marriage, I think it carries right over into your marriage. Because you're alive. You're submitted to your head. You know? But if it ain't working here, if it didn't work in here, it's not going to work here. When you die to self. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Man. When you die to what you want and self-will, and let Christ live his life in and through you. Galatians chapter 2. One of my all-time favorite scriptures, man. Galatians 2 might be for some of you guys as well. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet not I, but Christ is living in me. Now you think about that one. I mean, the reality of Christianity is Christ living inside of us. That God would come into this earthen vessel. See, God already knows you're not perfect. God already knows you're a mess. And that's the reason why He said, I will work in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. If we'll take our weaknesses and our failures and we'll bring them before the Lord, as Paul said, he said, I glory in my weaknesses. Do we? Do we glory in our weaknesses? And I believe part of what he's saying there is to look at yourself and give glory to God. To look at all of your weaknesses and you can't do this and you can't do that. And you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, here I am. I don't have the strength, I don't have the ability, but I give you honor and I give you glory. And Paul said, I will glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest upon me. You want to see more of God working in your life? Then glory in your weaknesses. Look to Him. It's natural to look at our weaknesses. And look at our failures and say, I can't do that. I'll always be a failure. I'll never get it right. And all of those things, it's so easy to look at ourselves. It takes faith to look at God. And stop looking at yourself. Because every time we look at ourselves, either we're going to get puffed up or we're going to get condemned. And in either way, it's unbelief because He knows what you are. He knows what you're made of. He knows you're a mess. He says, look at me. Look at me. No longer I am living. Christ is living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Just the reality. You know what Colossians 1 says? Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not about you. It's not about me. We're earthen vessels. We always will be. You know what? You can get an old clay pot and you can kind of put some paint on it and make it look pretty good. But it's still an old clay pot. It's not the pot. It's the treasure within. It's the glory of God that God can take vessels like you and I. And I think I've shared this story before, but you know, it's just one of those stories that really impacted my life. And again, when I was at Christ for the Nations, by the way, thank you for supporting me when I went to Christ for the Nations. Although none of you know it, at that time we didn't have what we have here today, but you know, my second year in Bible college, pastor came to me and said, we're going to pay for everything, man. Thank you, pastor. I appreciate that. 1978, 79. I'm only 35. I'm not really, I'm 36. All right. Let's finish up with this. Look over at 1 John chapter 4. Don't you love the word? Man, just the strength that it brings to us, you know? How many times you're cast down, you're weary, you just, forget it, Lord, I give up, I can't do this, you know? And then you just come into His presence. You know, and you stop looking at yourself and you look at Jesus and He infuses His strength and His love. I constantly have to remind myself, all you got to do is receive it, Rob. That's all you got to do. He's more than willing to give you all the love. All you got to do is receive it. You don't have to do anything else. The grace, all you got to do is receive it. That's all. And how many times we come into our prayer closet and we're trying to work, oh God, and I'm not talking about not crying out to the Lord, but just an attitude and an understanding, He wants to give it to you. He's not holding back. We are. Amen? We're holding it back because of the walls we put up. And you just come in and you just receive freely what He has freely given. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. It's talking about the world. You are of God. You have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to preach that to ourselves, guys. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, it's not about you. I like the way Andre said it all those years ago. If I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith and His Word can do through it all. It's not about us. It's about the glory of God. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And if we can just, if we can get that down in our spirit and just the reality that Christ is living inside of me and the things that I could not do naturally, now by His Holy Spirit, He will enable me to be able to do those things, to love the unlovely, to love our enemies, to reach out to those that we would never have the ability to be able to do. And I know what the story I was going to tell you. Holy Hubert. Good old Holy Hubert. And again, at Christ for the Nations. And Holy Hubert was a street evangelist. We'd heard about him, and he was in L.A. and a great street evangelist. So they brought him to Christ for the Nations. And, you know, you have all these imaginations of what great men of God are going to look like, right? I mean, they're just, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So when they introduced him, my first look was, I thought they'd made a mistake. I said, this cannot be the guy. Cause he comes out, he's got kind of long, scraggly hair. It's kind of hanging down. He kind of reminds me of some of Pastor's relatives in Georgia. I mean, that's what, and then when he smiled, you could see the back of his throat. Cause he had no teeth. His front teeth were missing, you know. So this guy comes out and, you know, this is a Bible college and a lot of these guys wanting to go in the ministry and they're looking forward to hearing from a man of God and you're thinking, okay, where's he at? This guy cannot be it. And then when he began to pray, he prayed and I repented. Because as he began to pray, it's like he just took us to the throne of God. I mean, the anointing of God. And man, just as he just began to cry out to the Lord for the souls of men, and he's doing that, I'm just saying, Father, forgive me for judging your vessel, man. I looked on the outside. I looked at that clay pot, and I didn't see your glory, but I see it now. And all that I'm trying to say as we finish up for this evening, it's not about the clay pot. And it doesn't matter how limited you may be in giftings and abilities and all of these things. He's looking just for availability. Just a heart that says, God, use me. And when he began to pray, then you understood why this man was such a great man of God on the streets of L.A. Because he knew Jesus. And Father, we just asked you tonight that Lord, we want first love in our relationship with you, Lord. We want it to stay fresh and alive, Lord, and just being able to come into your presence, to come to the house of God, to be with the people of God. That Father, we wouldn't treat common that which was purchased by your precious blood. So Father, we look to you that as these clay vessels, that Lord, we would die that you might live. That Lord, we would be able to see more of your glory in this place, more of your glory in our lives. That Father, it's not about us, it's about you, it's about your glory. It's about you being lifted up and exalted in our midst, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Stop getting puffed up because of who I think that I am. But Father, it's all about you. It's all about your glory. It's all about your majesty. And Father, it's all about the lost being able to encounter your love and for them to be born again and also to have you living in their lives, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for Pastor and Greer, and Father, thank you for our precious family that we have here. And Father, I just speak your blessing upon them right now and just the peace of God upon their lives, Lord, and your grace enabling them, Father, to continue to endure and continue to stand and continue to be faithful in a day where so many are falling away, Lord. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, Lord, enable us. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Why don't you just turn to somebody before you go and just say, the Lord is good. Amen. God bless you.